present the news quiz with your commissar, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to another romp through the news of the past 7 days, which we begin with an urgent appeal from the South Coast Police, reported in the Times.
There's a large number of expensive boats moored along our coastline and river estuaries, and all kinds of boats and accessories are being stolen. We're asking people to help themselves.
We're eternally indebted to Marie Mizell of London West 2 for the information. Helping themselves this week, because I certainly won't. On the private eye team, we have the venerable Dr. Ingrams, and playing the part of Janet is wee Scottish hackette Angela Gordon, now news editor of The Observer. Ranged against them on my left, we have a gentleman normally to be found on the right, Conservative MP and Sun columnist Julian Critchley, and he's partnering the virile, manly editor of Punch, Alan Corran. Round one now, and we begin with some amazing news of performing animals at the Greenham Common site, courtesy of the Daily Mail.
It was noon at Blue Gate, and there were more dogs around than women. One was applying black makeup and discussing house prices.
We're obliged to Liz and Rob Wright for pointing out the amazing advances made by British veterinary science. As ever, it falls to Richard Ingrams to bully off. Richard, who got carried away and a reverent reverend?
Is it our old friend, the Rev. Paisley?
Oh, it might be that.
Who was carried out by Inspector O'Nacker of the Royal Ulster Constabulary following the dissolution of his parliament.
That's absolutely right. All refers to the defeated Irish heavyweight contender, the Reverend Ian Paisley, who had to be carried away from a sit-in at Stormont amidst threats of Civil War Holocaust, and if they're really unlucky, his imminent return. Anyway, the next question, we welcome back Angela Gordon, the Deacon Brodie of subtlety. Angela, who picked up Hollywood's top award to date?
Hollywood's top award?
More the busty substance department, I would
say. Ah, not Samantha Fox, but could it possibly be Raquel Squelch?
It could be. I don't know about the Squelch bit, but it's Raquel Welch, certainly.
I know. She was supposed to star in a film, but she took 3 hours to make up, and she was fired, and she got £7 million compensation.
That's right, absolutely right. It is all about Raquel Welch, who was awarded £7 million for unfair dismissal by MGM. They said they fired her because she couldn't act. Ha 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 ha. She's never got in her way before. Mr. and Mrs. D.S. Stevenson of Devon, meanwhile, have sent us this cutting from Pullman's Weekly.
Axminster Church Hall presents a nearly new sale of homemade cakes, sandwiches, coffee and biscuits.
Julian Critchley, a very warm welcome to the news quiz. Thank with you. This puzzler, who won't be caught by the courts when caught on court?
I suppose it must be to do with Wimbledon, but
as
Mr. McEnroe is in retirement, living a life of leisure and peace somewhere in the United States, it can't be he. I don't think I am. No, I'm stuck.
Alan?
The listeners ought to know you were hugging yourself at that point. It can't just be with self-approbation. It must be about sex at Wimbledon. And love. There must be a love match.
No.
There's always one. Lloyd is leaving or marrying somebody else.
Lendl
is marrying Becker.
Richard?
It is to do with drugs.
It is?
Yes. The authorities have decided to give dope tests to all the players.
Yes.
But if they are found to be positive, nothing will be done to
That's right. So I think one to each side on that one.
It's all about... had my dope test prior to this quiz.
Did they find anything,
and
Richard?
And it was negative.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Which is more than you can say for my partner here. And also very positive in all manner of ways.
You were injecting yourself there, that.
Yes, that was the...
I thought you were grabbing.
And all that.
I thought it was I feel a right tit. I thought it was...
I thought it was about lust.
That's a good one.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, between you've got it all. It's all about Wimbledon, where widespread tests are being carried out to halt the use of cocaine, heroin, and so forth among the players. We thought British players were on backhanders all these years. Now it turns out they're on sleeping tablets. Explaining his first round defeat, British number one John Lloyd said he was serving and volleying well, but he couldn't get his baseline shots past the pink elephant on skis. And we now turn to Alan Corran for the maestro's musical moment.
Thank you.
And can you tell us why sheep may not safely graze?
I know that, yes. I recognise that. That was the terminal movement from the Chernobyl Symphony by Bach. Bach, as his name suggests, is a Welsh composer. And the sheep outside his window are not safely grazing. They are falling over and glowing, cooking themselves. Bach can step out onto the lawn and find crown roast of lamb all the way from Poland. And never laid a finger on it.
I was thinking of bark, black sheep.
Bonus point to Ingram, sir. Yes, it's all about the continuing saga of the radioactive sheep and the poor Welsh and Scottish sheep farmers who are now facing the dreadful prospect of nuclear roast down. The government explained that, in fact, the radioactivity was all part of a programme to breed the perfect late-night takeaway, a shish kebab you can see in the dark. Well, it's the end of round one, and the scores... Oh, dear. Alan Corran's team, 3. Richard Ingram's team, 6. Oh! And amid cries of it's a fiddle, we go on to round two, beginning with the Basingstoke Advertiser.
Olwyn Gamble had a trip to remember when she won a VIP day out at Herne Airport in Bournemouth. She was given a surprise birthday cake with a presentation picnic hamster lunch.
Delicious. And our thanks to Jude Moss of Basingstoke for that one. On with the questions now, and one for Richard Ingrams. Richard, how might spirit messages help someone with their inquiries?
This is a paranormal question.
It is.
And you've come to the right man.
Certainly not normal.
Without any assistance from Doris McStokes on my left, I can tell you...
You're on your own.
..that Mr... that well-known expert on the paranormal, Mr. Brian Inglis, has published a new book in which he recommends that Inspector Knacker makes more use of Doris Stokes when pursuing his inquiries into insoluble crimes.
That's
how about
absolutely
that?
Right.
Yes.
Well done. It does refer to Brian Inglis, the author once responsible for all our yesterdays, who's now concentrating on all our tomorrows. He claims that if the police lay more store by the paranormal, they could solve many more crimes. And we move on to Angela Gordon. Your question now, Angela. How was an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny garment rent asunder by the cloth?
Oh, this has got something to do with Margate Council, hasn't it?
No.
Yes, and a councillor said you can't have nude beaches in Margate because of the women's flabby stomachs.
It's got nothing to do with Margate at all.
It's something to do with the rabbis.
It could be indeed.
You might wonder how rabbis and flesh have come together, but I think there was big advertisements or whatever for girls in scanty swimsuits, and they objected.
Where was this, Margate?
Somewhere
else. Tell me where it was.
Scotland. No, it has actually got connections with Scotland, because I think this happened in Israel, and Rangers football team at this moment in time are trying to sign up the captain of Israel. Is that not right?
If you say so, dear, I would prepare to believe anything.
Hi.
Well, this time you've all forgotten the question. It's all about a bikini, of course. The garment in question was a swimsuit decorating an otherwise naked model on a series of Israeli beachwear posters, which so antagonised the Orthodox community that they visited upon the manufacturers the dreaded plague of rabbis. After having numerous poster sites burnt down, the bikini makers have agreed that in future their beachwear will only be modelled by girls in ankle-length overcoats and Homburgs.
Do you think the Queen ever wears a bikini?
Do I think the Queen ever wears bikinis?
Okay, a swimsuit.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'm sure she also wears ankle-length overcoats and Homburg hats. I have no doubt. And staying on the subject of religion, Dorothy Dearden sends us an amusing juxtaposition of programmes from the BBC Two Guide of the 13th of June.
9:30, Your Life in Their Hands, Inside Operation. 10 o'clock, Please God, Putting It Right.
And back to you, Julian Critchley, and your turn for a depressing musical clue.
He's got the whole world in his hands, he's got
it's either Sir Geoffrey Howe, who's about to go to South Africa,
mm-hmm.
or it's Maradona, who revenged defeat over the Falkland Islands single-handed.
Yes, I'd go for the latter if I were you.
It's... Another question, please, Magnus.
Well, I didn't think it was necessary to get the... I mean, Julian got it so quickly, I didn't need to ask the question, which was, who didn't put his hand up to admit putting his hand up, which was what it was.
Putting his hand up what?
Vulgarises everything. I mean, those years at Wapping have not done you any good, dear.
No, sir.
And the second question now for young Alan Corran, and the question simply is this. Alan, can you tell us how the law was fingered this week?
It's another hand story. It's the rubber finger of Bristol, a story for which the world is not yet prepared. A good lady of Clifton found a finger in the street and took it home, there being little else in that neck of the woods except radioactive lamb to eat. And when she got home, and it's a horrible story, when she got home, she rang a Home Office pathologist, and he came over and said, yes, that is a finger from a human being, and it's gone off. I will get the police, and we shall find the rest of the person and sew this thing back on. And it upset all sorts of people because they spent a great deal of your money and mine looking for people walking around without a finger in Bristol. And it turned out to be rubber.
Absolutely right, Alan, all about a human finger discovered in a Bristol children's playground, which was examined for 2 days by police forensic scientists sparking up a major murder hunt before they realised it was made of rubber. Police doctors now admit they've been mistakenly ministering to Kenneth Newman's spitting image puppet for the last 2 years. And amazingly, it's the end of round two, the halfway stage, and the score is Alan Corran's team 7, Richard Ingram's team 10.
You must keep...
Round three now, and we start with this cutting from the Yorkshire Evening Press.
Bernard Matthews can talk all day long until he is in front of the television cameras. I have an awful memory and have to read my lines from large boards, admits the millionaire turkey.
We're applied to David Heselton of York for that. And staying with television, we have a question for Richard Ingrams. Richard, what Thames Side issue is laughing all the way to the bank?
What has happened is that Thames Television have gone public, as they say, and you can now buy shares in... what did Thames put out? Rubbish, like everyone else.
Rubbish, yeah.
So I probably wouldn't buy the shares if I were you, if you're listening. No, I'd like to provide balance for that controversial comment.
You get the marks, and we turn to Angela Gordon. Angela, pin back your ears, or nose, for this.
It's my nose's birthday, not mine. And I'm proud to say the schnauzer's doing fine. My nose was born upon this day in 1893. Exactly 2 weeks later, the stork delivered me. It was the first time in history that a nose outweighed the child. But I'm as happy as I can be, 'cause it's my nose's golden anniversary.
Angela, who won't be bringing you the main points of the nose at 10?
God, not another Jewish question.
Oh, my God, HDR.
I know what it is. It's our friend, isn't it? Sir Alistair Brunette.
Yes, right.
Who's had a wart removed from his nose. I always thought you could get rid of it with dock leaves. Not that I've had warts on my nose.
No, of course not.
Did you see a piece in The Observer this week about...
No.
No, I don't think I should tell you, because you'll just accuse me of being saucy.
No, go on, go ahead.
Well, okay, just edit it out. It won't go out, but it's all about men being accused of causing problems because of warts.
Because of what?
Warts.
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 Warts. No, I don't think I want to tell this. Carry on, carry on. It was in The Observer. But
if you come, if you go round to The Observer offices, Angela will see you one by one and tell you the warts. In part two, here's some news of how the SDP funds itself, sent to us by Catherine Roberts, and read to you once more by the loyal and trusting Perkins.
Why not take out a subscription to the Social Democrat magazine? For 1 year's subscription of 24 issues, just enclose a cheque or postal order payable to the SDP for £10,000.
Oh, good value. Back to Julian Critchley now with this question. Julian, who's seeing £10 million worth of stars?
Well, £10 million, I think, of the Mr. Geoffrey Archer is about to publish his fifth book. Would it be Geoffrey Archer?
It could well be Geoffrey Archer. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's not Geoffrey Archer. It's,
or
Old Hopalong? Reagan?
Well, it's connected.
SDI? What? SDI? Soft yes, Drinks yes, Institute. Right, yes. You're old enough to remember SDI.
Yes, of course. It is about that. It's the Star Wars. That's the answer is the government who've secured the first batch of Star Wars research for this country. We're going to build the spin-off plastic models, apparently. The ultimate aim of the British research will be to create an impassable space barrier over Europe made up of lasers which will shoot down intercontinental ballistic sheep as they come over. You get your marks and we move on to Alan. Alan, can you tell us about the man that's been getting there by changing his station in life?
I always get these rather oddball stories, and no pun intended. There was someone who started out as a man and went to work for British Rail as a driver and became the first woman driver. But either in the process of the interview or halfway between Bristol, Temple Meads and Euston, changed sex. And
well, you've got plenty of time as the trains from Temple Meads don't go into Euston. If they did, I'm sure.
He arrived at Euston as a 75-year-old man, having started out as a 15-year-old woman. But it's something like that. There's been a BR investigation into sex change on the points. And this man did it to get a job.
This is an extraordinary story. It's all about British Rail, who've been accused of sexism by the Equal Opportunities Commission. Apparently, of the country's 18,616 train drivers, 18,615 are men. The other one is a woman who used to be a man, who had the operation after he got the job. She has now been assigned to the Disorient Express. It's a long train with matching shoes and handbag. Platform shoes.
And I wouldn't like
all
to look
right,
in.
All right. Don't get rowdy.
Yes, I wouldn't like to look three. In the Lost Property Office.
The scores at the end of round three. Alan Curran's team 11. Richard Ingham's team in the lead still with 14. Round four now, which we start with the Daily Telegraph and a startling statistic about student grants.
The proposed examination of student grants was widely welcomed as long overdue yesterday by students and by vice-chancellors. It's the fourth such review since 1097.
Our thanks to W.J. Henman and Diana York for sending us the cutting. And we continue with this piece of music for Richard Ingram's. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. That was I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley and the Wailers. And it's another paranormal question for you, Richard. Can you tell us about the election winner who left his opponents for dead?
Somebody died in an election.
Well, that's a bit tasteless.
Yes.
Is it in, even for you?
Is it in Haiti?
Pardon?
Sheriff. Sure. Stab in the dark.
It's in the Far
further
East.
Further west.
It's in the Far East.
No, it isn't. It's not this. It's all about the election candidate Brenda Maguire, who picked up a handsome 79% of the vote in the race to be sheriff of the Californian town of San Mateo, despite the fact that he'd been dead for 6 weeks. A small matter that did not seem to bother his 81,000 Irish-American supporters. It's now been announced that the dead man must stay in office until the next election. San Mateo Council has clearly decided to follow the lead of the White House. And final question now for Angela, which is this. Who have plainly got jumbos behind them?
Disgusting.
It is.
It is disgusting, isn't it? I know exactly what you're talking about. Is it about,
yes,
as opposed to...
Yes, it is about, as opposed to... Well, I mean...
It's about...
Well, yes.
Yes.
I mean, up to a point.
It's about the airline that has discovered that their air hostesses have got quite plump bottoms, and someone's making a very strange noise. And it's about, Bumbo Jet. It's about wide-bodied aircraft.
Wouldn't go on with...
I can't go on any further.
No, thank goodness for that.
I think that the airline responsible, I think, is that is Australian airline.
No.
Qantas. No.
Not a bad joke.
Good joke.
Under the circumstances.
Yes, not worth the interruption.
British Caledonian.
Try Dan Air.
Dan Air.
Quite right. The answer is air hostesses, who, according to Danair, have added an average of 2 inches around the hips since the last time they were measured up for uniforms. So that's what they mean by wide bodies with bags of extra seat room. They're also worried by the number of hostesses with beards, pipes and hairy legs who keep saying, "Tickets, please, and minor doors." Julian, your final question is this. What might you find on the beat as it sweeps, as it cleans? I'm sure you'll find the lusty Corran will come to your aid if you need aid.
It's quite hard to do this.
Is it a black policeman in northeast London?
I haven't the faintest idea. I would say, given the option, it's not about a black policeman in northeast London, but more somebody in Didcot, Allen.
Yes, it's a policeman who drives a Hoover van, thanks to the splendid government which you represent this evening. He can't make ends meet by being a copper, so he goes out and flogs Hoovers.
It's a plainclothes Hoover van.
Little Thatcherite virtues.
Is the answer. Plainclothes Hoover van used by Rodney Pye of Didcot as he flits between his two jobs as vacuum cleaner engineer and special constable. He says that because of the van, people often don't take him seriously. No matter how often he shows them his police helmet, they just won't let him empty their Hoover bags in the... Finally, your proper question, Alan. Who got so worried about an absentee landlord they cemented their relationship with him?
A landlord was bricked in. The people have been watching Auf Wiedersehen, Pet, where this thing happened. And people are influenced by television these days, not just our children. So presumably all over the country, people are going bricking their pubs up. But there was a landlord in a pub somewhere in Wales, I think, Mid Glamorgan or something.
Right.
And he got a job somewhere else. And his flock so loved him that they bricked him in so he couldn't get out of the place.
That's right. They replaced his front door with a brick wall. He said afterwards that it would actually be quite handy. Regulars can talk to it and save themselves the trouble of trying to get served at the bar. And that, tragically, is the end of this week's contest. Before we go, time to ask Dr. Ingrams to read out his prescription for the week. Richard?
I've got a very dog-eared little cutting from the Evening Telegraph. It's a column called The Vet Replies. And a reader writes in saying, "I have an Irish terrier bitch which ignores the doorbell. How can I train her to be a watchdog?" And the vet replies, "Each time the doorbell rings, jump up excitedly and bark yourself."
Very sensible to me. I don't know. Angela?
You've got to think about this one. I know that's hard for you, Barry.
Yes,
but it's,
I'll do my best.
You know one of these signs that you see on the back of cars? Really make you laugh, don't they?
Oh, right.
Yeah. What do they say?
Well, this one was seen in Hampstead and it read, "No hand signals, driven by Arab shoplifter."
By any chance, got another one for us. And
Gold is green, we'd like it. Someone was saying either. So, there's a road sign which said, "Gold is green, 2 miles," and someone scored out, "But to you, 1.5.
I think it would balance out those anti...
You think, that's
the rabbis.
Have a vote on that, doesn't it?
Because otherwise...
No one asks you for a show of hands.
You'll get complaints.
We'll some Arabs. Now then...
Come on, I shall have to shave again in a minute.
Right, exactly. Julian Critchley, have you got a cutting?
Well, I've got a very unseasonably headed piece from Peterborough, the Daily Telegraph diary, without which no breakfast is complete. It's entitled Thin Ice. And because it's as hot as the black hole of Calcutta in this studio, a reader informs me that the following notice was attached to the notice board at a school in Fleet, Hampshire, earlier this year. No boy may skate on any water not passed by the headmaster.
Definitely improvement on Angela's. Alan.
What?
What have you got, Bruce?
Well, just to show things that can go... I'm going to wave this at the audience, like Chamberlain at Hendon, to show you that it's real. I haven't made it up. It's from the Bournemouth Evening Echo. Marie, a member of Bournemouth and District Outdoor Club, has been campaigning for a nudist beach for 14 years. Joining her in the plea is the Naturist Foundation, who would also like a section of the beach where its members can hang out. Can't do that one. Should do this one. Thank you, Barry. Yes, I'd like you to do this one from the Bedfordshire Times. The house awaiting occupation in College Street, Kempson, was stripped last week by burglars. Even the lavatories were stolen. A police spokesman said, "We have nothing to go on."
Thank you, Alan. And the final score at the end of the contest, I'm happy to say, is, although you deserved to win, Alan, you didn't. You got 14. But Richard Ingram and his team of Angela Gordon won with 16. Well done. And we leave you, sadly, with the last word on the World Cup, spotted in the Times by Frank Pedley of Yorkshire. As the last shots are fired and the 23 unsuccessful nations trail home, it's nice to think that the whole thing might end in a spirit of peace and reconciliation.
A friendly match has taken place between referees, linesmen and officials of FIFA and the World Cup organising committee. Two players were sent off and the game rapidly degenerated into a violent mass brawl.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz were Alan Coren, Julian Critchley, Angela Gordon and Richard Ingrams. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written and compiled by John Langdon with the producer, Harry Thompson.